As expected in the minds of most people, the Tennessee Titans selected a tackle in the first round of the 2024 NFL Draft. They stayed put at number 7 and went with Alabama's J.C. Latham, a large man who started at right tackle for 2 years at Alabama, but who will transition to the left with the Titans. And there is reason to believe he is athletic enough and smart enough and all those things that it won't be a terribly taxing transition for him. At least that is what the Titans believe, what the Titans hope, what the Titans expect from this guy. So we will talk about J.C. Latham on this. We'll call it a special mid-draft edition of the Believe in Titans podcast. We are recording Friday morning, some hours after the completion of the first round and some hours before the start of the second round. As always, I am David Beauclair with the Nashville Banner and joined by John Glennon of the Nashville Post. John, you'll be seeing JC in person later this afternoon when he comes to town for a press conference. I won't be there for that, but he's going to take up space. Talk about him. This is a huge individual, which that in and of itself is going to make it difficult, I think, for edge rushers to get around him. But he's got a lot more than just size in his favor. Yes,
he's a mountain of a man, David. Yes, 6'6", 342 pounds, gigantic man. And Rand Carthen's challenge to the media last night was, when we do meet him, he says, make sure you shake the man's hand, because evidently he's got legendary hands, humongous, as you might expect for a man of his proportions. The good news is that he is also considered to be a pretty athletic, especially for that size, considered to have pretty good feet. He's a good mover. And I think those are the two primary reasons, athleticism and good quick feet. The two main reasons, I think, why the Titans believe that he'll be capable of making that switch from right to left tackle, which doesn't always work. You know, not every tackle is able to do that. I think the one probably negative I would think in drafting J.C. Latham there at number 7 is that you have raised that question. You know, I think in a perfect world, in your first round draft pick, you don't want any questions raised. You want everybody universally saying, great, perfect fit. Let's move forward. Let's see what he can do. And here the Titans have raised a question of whether he'll be capable of making that right to left switch. Now, we've certainly said he's got some traits, some very impressive traits that you think it will be possible, but you also have to consider, what if that doesn't work? And especially what if it doesn't even work right away? Then where are you at left tackle going into the season? You're back at square one, and I think the options, you know, at that point, is Nicholas Petit-Frere your left tackle? Are you signing a free agent off the street who's still out there right now? You know, those are the things that come to mind. Now, again, we're jumping ahead and we're playing the glass half full here in terms of if it doesn't work. But that is the question that is raised if that move doesn't work and Latham stays at right tackle where he did so well at Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, he did play left tackle in high school. For what that's worth, you know, you're talking about a guy who's that big and athletic. You know, how often was he truly challenged in high school? Now, he's from Wisconsin, but played at IMG Academy, where they do play a pretty prolific schedule. And Latham was rated the number one high school offensive line prospect the year he came out. So, it's not like he's a Johnny come lately. And he went to Alabama actually thinking he was going to play left tackle. He talked about it, when he met the media last night that basically he was stuck behind Evan Neal, who was a previous top 10 draft pick out of Alabama. So in order to get on the field and not to create problems, I'll go play right tackle. And in his mind, he's actually a left tackle who went to the right side at Alabama. So I think there's something to be said for that. And Rand Carthen, talked about it too, said he's very enthusiastic, said, pretty much any offensive lineman or any tackle worth his salt wants to be the left tackle and thinks he can be the left tackle. So the there's a lot there to I think to feel good about with this guy. He certainly came across as very personable and enthusiastic. And I thought one of the most interesting things I thought about last night, and it was a question you actually asked him, is about the nickname he gave himself. Goes by TK, which stands for Trench King. And he said it's basically a mindset that he developed where he feels like every game, every snap, he should be the king of the trenches. I think that right there says a lot about his mindset and his approach and what you're looking for. Going into this thing, we talked a lot about Notre Dame's Joe Alt. I know you and I discussed, John, that if Alt was going to be available to the Titans, he'd be really hard to pass up. The only thing that would probably prohibit him from being available was if the LA Chargers took him. The LA Chargers stayed at number five, and sure enough, they took Joe Alt. But there seems to be a possibility that Latham was the guy all along. Diana Russini of The Athletic reported that Bill Callahan considered Latham his favorite player in the draft. I'm talking Bill Callahan, the offensive line coach, not Brian Callahan, the head coach. So, if that's the case, I'm sure his opinion carried a lot of weight. And Latham talked about how, he and his agent specifically had lots of talks with Titans officials. And when the Chargers came on the clock, the Titans were calling Latham's agent saying, "Hey, are the Chargers going to take you? Are the Chargers going to take you?" Almost sounding like that they feared that the Chargers would take him and maybe they'd have to settle for Joe Alt. So do you see a big difference, John, between Alt and Latham? Is there any chance that the Titans, maybe had to settle for this guy, or do you think he was the one they wanted all along?
I would think, based on a lot of the evaluations, analyst reports and so forth. I think the general consensus was that Alt was the best overall prospect. Now, that doesn't mean every team, every general manager, every coaching staff feels that way, but certainly I think the general consensus among analysts was that Alt was the better overall player at this point anyway. And I think part of that is probably that Alt is at this point considered better pass protector. I would say, especially if we're talking about on the left side, which will be a learning curve for J.C. Latham. But Alt was probably considered elite as a pass blocker, even right now, and that maybe he needed a little bit work on the run. I would say it's probably a flip for Latham. I would say that he's probably stronger in the run right now, and maybe the passing. Protection needs a little bit of work. So there were certainly some analysts out there who did like J.C. Latham better than anyone else. As we've talked about, he's got great attributes: the size, the length of the arms, the foot movement, the athleticism. And I think one thing, you mentioned Bill Callahan earlier. I think one thing worth pointing out too is we saw this same kind of thing happened when Bill Callahan was in his first year as the Cleveland Browns offensive line coach. The Browns drafted a right tackle in the first round out of Alabama in Jedrick Wills and moved him from right to left, where he has started the last 4 years. Now, that said, he's been kind of okay. Not great. I don't think anybody considers him among the elite left tackles. in the league. He's been, solid, but not great. So you could say mixed results on that decision. But at least Bill Callahan is certainly very familiar with guys making that transition and the challenges that go with it. So that should be a plus right there. And yeah, also on Bill Callahan, he said he sat down, or J.C. Latham said he and Bill Callahan had about a 2-hour discussion when they met, on his visit to the Titans. And Bill Callahan told him repeatedly that, hey, I think you're athletic enough to make this move over to left tackle. So, I mean, there's a lot to like about J.C. Latham. There's no doubt about it. Again, it's just the, you wish, I suspect anyway, that Titans fans are wishing, hey, why do we have one kind of nagging question with our first round pick?
Yeah, and I think that's fair. And you just have to wait and see. I guess the thing is, the question was last year with Peter Skoronski, was he a tackle? Was he a guard? They plugged him into guard, which he did not play in college, right? He was a tackle all through college, and that was a so guard was a new position for him. He settled in quite nicely last year. Now he will have another first round draft pick to his left, and drafting offensive linemen in the first round is not always sexy, and let's say that because the way the first six picks fell, Titans had some interesting options. Georgia tight end Brock Bowers was available to them, who we talked about here recently, and what he might be able to do. Washington wide receiver Rome Odunze was there, a player that some would tell you was the best wide receiver in this draft. Even better, there you could find some who will tell you he was better than Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers. I mean, this is a guy who looks like he's going to be an impact player. Certainly, the Titans could use a young, explosive wide receiver like that. But I think to their credit, they didn't overthink this thing. I'm sure they probably had trade offers at number 7-2, and where you thought, well, okay, maybe we don't get an offensive lineman here, but we can move back a few spots and still get one of these really good players. I think they did the right thing in terms of, okay, if they love this guy, you need a tackle. You pair him. Now you've got two first round picks on the left side of the line that who can grow up together, potentially become a dominant. You think of Art Shell, Gene Upshaw on the left side of the Oakland Raiders lines in the late 70s, early 80s. I'm dating myself by going with that reference, but that is one that always immediately comes to mind. Two guys who played together for years and were just flat out dominant. But how tempt do you think the Titans were tempted at all, John, for a Bowers or an Odunze, or do you think it was, when it was at that point, it had to be Latham all the way for them?
I think it was certainly a tackle all the way going into this draft. With the addition, that they made at wide receiver with Calvin Ridley, that really solidified that spot to the point that I don't think it became a high priority. It might have been one thing if you didn't have the glaring need at left tackle and you were simply able to pick the best available player. Maybe in that case you do go with a Rome Odunze, or maybe you do go with a Brock Bowers. Unfortunately for the Titans, there was a five alarm glaring need at the tackle spot, and they had to dress it at number seven, especially in a year like this where there are where the tackle class was considered so rich. Now Rand Carthen did say last night, he said they had a ton of offers to move out of the number seven spot. He said, basically his response to the offers was, look, unless you're really going to blow us away, we're going to stay right here. That raises a question too. I feel like, if they had moved out of the number seven spot, depending on how far you move back, there were certainly some pretty high quality, offensive tackles that were still going to be available. The name that comes to mind immediately in terms of guys who'd had a ton of left tackle experience, Olu Fashanu of Penn State, who wound up going 11th. I think a lot of people considered him more of a natural fit left tackle, and he was considered a great pass protector protector as well. And you know, some of the other guys you go with, Taliese Fuaga went 14th, Amarius Mims 18th, Troy Faotanu 20th, Jordan Morgan 25th, Tyler Guyton 29th. And a number of those guys were actually considered more natural left tackles, or more potential to be a good fit at left tackle than J.C. Latham. So you wonder if the Titans might have been able to move back a little bit, still get a really good left tackle prospect, and maybe add draft capital. I don't think that would have been a bad move either. But you know, I guess when it comes down to it, you have to look at you know, Rand Carthen, Brian Callahan, and Bill Callahan, especially the third, I would say, and say those guys have a ton more experience in evaluating players than we in the media and perhaps fans do as well. So I think you have to give them the benefit of the doubt. And if Bill Callahan says there's a guy that's athletic enough and mobile enough and you know, quick enough to play left tackle, even though he only played right in college, okay, I'm going to buy into it. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And you know, J.C. Latham is going to have to prove us wrong, I think, if there are any doubters that think he's you know, not going to be able to play left tackle.
And say this about him. I mean, based on one press conference that over Zoom or whatever, I mean, he's a guy that I think fans are going to have an easy time rooting for and getting
Yes.
behind. A really likable guy, and you know, I don't want to say he talked a big game. Certainly, he has confidence. I mean, he's been a 2-year starter at Alabama. He as I said, he was the number one offensive line prospect coming out of high school. I mean, this is a guy who has been good for a long time, has a lot of reason to feel good about himself, but didn't talk in ways that made you think like he was trying to convince himself or anybody else of anything. I think he has a good sense of who he is, and not feeling like I'm perfect. Like you mentioned, the conversation he had with Bill Callahan, where he said, "Yeah, you know, we sat down and I thought maybe it was going to be," I think he said maybe 30, 45-minute conversation. He said, "Next thing you know, it's 2 hours and we could have kept talking all day." And he said, Bill Callahan referred to several different techniques, he goes, that I've never even heard of, you know, and he said that in a way that it was like, man, I can't wait to learn all this stuff. And you know, some of these kids, and maybe they have every right to, but it always makes me nervous when some of these kids act like they've got it all figured out, and the fact that they're a first round pick justifies everything, and now they've arrived and they're there. You know, J.C. Latham strikes me as a guy who definitely feels like there's more for me. I want to get into this. I want to find out exactly what more there is for me and how good I can be. He looked fantastic in his tailored suit. He was smiling. He was well spoken. I mean, from that perspective, there's nothing not to like about the guy, at least not to this point, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. He came off as very personable, like you said, very intelligent, very, very well spoken. You know, it's funny, strictly from a media standpoint, you know, you and I, we've all had these discussions before. You're always looking for guys that are in the locker room that can be good talkers. You know, and you don't always find a ton of them on the offensive line. You know, sure, you've got your Taylor Lewans and you know, your Brad Hopkins from time to time, but for the most part, I would say offensive linemen in general tend to be more the silent type. Well, we discovered last night that J.C. Latham should be a good one in terms of talking, and I think that's good for the fans too. That's another guy who can bring analysis of what happened on the field, you know, what's happening with the Titans to the fans. So I think that's a real plus there. And as you say, yeah, I think he walked that line very well, between, you know, kind of confidence and arrogance as well. He came across as a guy who really believes in himself, that he has no doubts that he's going to be able to move to left tackle, but also the kind of guy that comes across as having quite a good work ethic as well. And Trench King pretty much sums it up. You know, a guy who feels like he has to win every battle. And I believe, I'll go back and double check, but I think one of the quotes was, you know, I'm willing to die every play, or I'm willing to die out there for the team, which, easy there, JC. Let's not get carried away. But, that's the kind of thing fans certainly are gonna love. So I think he's gonna be a popular guy. He'll be even that much more popular if he excels at left tackle.
Indeed. So we're plugging him in at left tackle, Peter Skoronski at left guard, of course, free agent Lloyd Cushenberry at center, last year free agent Daniel Brunskill at right guard. Who's playing right tackle, John? What's I mean, that's the big question right now, at least as far as the offensive line goes, right?
I would say, although I think there may be one more, at right guard, I would tentatively say Daniel Brunskill, but I get the sense they really like Sadiq Charles, the free agent they signed as well. He's started, a fair amount of games, and I think one of the things that's just held him back has been injuries a lot, when he was with the Commanders. But the way they talked about him, I think they really like is his strength and power. And I think he'll get a shot to kind of unseat Daniel Brunskill. And we cannot forget our good friend Dylan Raidens, who will probably get a shot at right guard as well. That seems to, the Bill Call Brian Callahan has made it clear that they think guard is the best position for Dylan Raidens. So that might be a nice battle too at right guard. But yeah, right tackle. Is it Leroy Watson, who they acquired in a trade from Cleveland for a seventh round pick? I would say the front runner, probably Nicholas Petitfrere, who played there,
You
certainly
almost
as
forget about him after last year. Was
I
one
know.
of the feel good rookie stories a couple years ago. You felt like Titans found something in a third round pick there, right?
I think yes and no, I would say. I think he was okay, but I think the fact this will sound bad, but I think the fact that the left tackle situation was so bad, those were the Dennis Daly days, I believe, in NPF's first year, that his NPF sort of being okay was overshadowed by the fact that they were awful at left tackle. So I thought he was okay. And then certainly, last year was a wash really for him, between the injuries, between his suspension, between shuffling back and forth between left and right tackle. He didn't really get to show much of anything. So I would consider him, just because of what we saw, first year, from him, to be the kind of the penciled in starter there. But I still wouldn't be, shocked if the Titans, maybe get a later round pick and add another tackle, maybe just to shore things up there. We'll see. But certainly the left side of the line, assuming Latham comes through and is a good left tackle, boy, that's quite a setup. When you add the size of Lloyd Cushenberry at center, I think that's something that was missing on the line last year. Boy, running to the left side, or pass protection to the left side, be difficult for people to get past that group of three there. The right side obviously has more question marks, and I'll be curious to see just how well NPF comes back from a disappointing second year.
And of course, there's last year's late round pick Jalen Duncan, who
True. Yep.
who got a little playing time last year at left tackle, but unlike J.C. Latham, he's a guy who pretty much no one looked at as a left tackle possibility. I mean, I think the feeling has always been if he's going to find a spot, and he is by no means a slam dunk. There's a reason he was picked later in the draft, but he if he's going to make it, he's going to make it as a right tackle, and I would assume he would get his shot. And he's another one who you're gonna say, well, if anybody can get it out of him, Bill Callahan's the guy who can get it out of him. And they traded for Leroy Watson. I assume they don't think Watson's a starter, but if worse comes to worse, then he's a guy that Callahan from his time with Cleveland has a certain amount of trust with that they can plug in there. So there are bodies there right now. I don't think there are answers, but as we prepare to wrap this thing up, we should note, of course, there are 2 more days and 6 more rounds to this draft. The Titans, as it stands, have six more picks, only one on Friday, that in the second round. It's the sixth pick of the second round, number 38 overall. That seems to me a prime position in which from which you can make a trade, move back, add another pick or two on day three, probably would be how I don't think you could get into the third round with what they have coming, but I assume they're going to be looking at a wide receiver somewhere in this thing. I assume they're going to be looking at a young safety somewhere in this thing. I assume they're going to try and get some pass rush help and maybe a young inside linebacker. We've talked about this in the last couple of weeks. I think the good news, the bad news, both for the Titans in this is that they have needs and needs that potentially can be filled in the later rounds of this draft. As how do you see these last 2 days shaping up, John?
Yeah, that's the thing with the Titans. You know, when the draft started, as I mentioned, you know, there was an absolute clear priority, glaring hole that needed to be addressed, and that was left tackle, and presumably they have done so with J.C. Latham. After that, I don't think there are glaring needs, thanks to what they did in free agency and with the trade for Legarius Sneed. But there are a number of positions, as you referenced, where they could become better. I guess if I was picking, I would think number 38. Maybe I'm looking towards that defensive line or slash edge, you know, and to fill that Denico Autry role. You know, a guy who made all kinds of sense, I thought, for the Titans was that Darius Robinson. Unfortunately for the Titans, he was picked number 27. Was taken by the Cardinals last night, but that seems to me a very big need. I think inside linebacker they added, you know, a little bit here in the offseason with Kenneth Murray. I still think that needs to be addressed again. Cornerback, you've got three really good ones, but I think there needs to be some depth added at that pick. And I think, you know, an interesting potential pick. You know, you look at wide receiver and you say, okay, you could probably skip it actually altogether this year if you wanted to, because really wide receiver in the draft keeps getting better and better each year, seemingly. And there's certainly, you know, talent there right now. But if the Titans wanted to get a slot guy maybe here in the second round, I think like a guy like Roman Wilson from Michigan might be a really good pick. Very productive, even in a run-oriented offense, and a guy who racked up some big yardage. I think he averaged like 16, 17 yards a catch out of the slot. And the best stat for Roman Wilson, 48 catches, 12 went for touchdowns. That's a pretty good percentage, pretty good ratio right there. So he's a guy that might interest me if they're interested enough in a wide receiver to grab one in the second round. I wouldn't think, barring a trade, I wouldn't think he would be around by the next time the Titans made a selection.
It's a big gap from the second round to the fourth round there, and I'm sure it'll feel like to the Titans there's a lot of good players that come off the board there. That'll be assuming they don't move around, that'll be a hard time to weather, I think, in the draft. But your point of adding an edge guy in the second round if they pick at 38 is interesting because they talked about it last night in draft coverage. Defense was almost a secondary thought for most of the teams in the first round. There, it took a long time before the first defensive player came off the board. I think about two-thirds of the picks were offensive guys, maybe even a little bit more than two-thirds. It was such an offense heavy, and the Titans being early in the second round, if the, you know, there's a chance there that there's somebody they love, or that opportunity, as I mentioned, exists to move back because there could be somebody who another team really loves wants to come up and get. So I think it'll be a busy start to the draft for or day two of the draft for Rand Carthen. I would assume his phone will be ringing quite a bit. There'll be a lot to talk about for this thing, but we will talk about all of that following the draft. We will be back with you early next week. So we'll enjoy the rest of the draft, everybody. Look forward to the JC Latham era kicking off here with the Titans, and that'll I guess that'll do it, John. As always, thanks for your time. Thanks for your insights.
Thank you, David.
All right, this is the Believe in Titans podcast, special first round 24 draft edition. Everybody, take care.